Hey, if you're just joining me, this is my second take on the live read because I just screwed up the first one. Welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast, episode 55. I'm co-host Ez Dali with, as always, Matt Arnold and Freddie Wong, who is back from his brief sabbatical. This week we are joined by VJHS co-writer Will Campos, where we talk about, oh God, what did we cover tonight? Freddie's new whip. We dug into Gamergate and then reminisced on Matt's history as world's worst EA rep. So subscribe to the podcast on iTunes if you're checking out the video. If you're not, don't forget that we have video versions of these podcasts up on YouTube and on the Rock and Jump store. Also, we mentioned the Chillest Bro You Know shirts that are now available on shop.rocketjump.com. So thanks for checking out the podcast. Let's get into it.
Resident Righty Extraordinaire, Will Campos, Des Dali, Matt Arnold, and myself, Freddie Wong. Last time you guys had a podcast without us, correct? And Matt and I were bemoaning the fact that we don't have Matt chats, which is like a separate...
I wasn't bemoaning that, Freddie was.
I want to have a separate side.
Matt was here.
Was he?
Yeah, we had a blast without you, Freddie.
I guess I was on one. No, but there was one that was like you, Benji, Logan... And somebody else.
That was a couple of weeks. That was a few weeks.
Oh, I sat in on that one. I showed up at the end and read horoscopes.
Yeah. So you've been on recently.
Yeah, but I haven't been on like...
You were like begging us to get on this.
Come on, that's the B-Squad, let's be honest. You know,
wow.
I want to be here for the show.
Well, we're riding full A-Squad right now.
Offense taken, Will.
No, you're like, Des, you're like when Batman shows up on... Remember when there was the 80s Justice League where it was Batman and then like a bunch of B-Squatters like Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and stuff?
What
it was actually a pretty good run.
Mm-hmm.
But you were like Batman of that group, you know? So you could go with like the really good Justice League and the B-Squad Justice League.
So I'm Blue Beetle?
Huh? So I'm Batman?
Oh, my phone's going off. Just another...
Batman and the Beetle?
Yeah. Batman and the Bee.
There we go. That's the podcast.
You're Batman and you're Batman.
We were Batman and Batman.
How have we never made that joke before?
People have.
Welcome to my childhood.
Batman Begins.
I mean, a show called Hey Arnold came out when I was alive. Like in school.
I changed my name from Willie to Will in third grade.
Free Willie?
Free Willie. I was like, I'm done.
Really? Kids couldn't make the leap from Will to Willie? Like, well, wait.
I know. There was a conveniently timed move to Colorado at the same time.
Okay. Oh, so you used to be Willie.
Yeah, when I was a little kid.
New nickname,
I mean,
man.
To be fair, that wouldn't have lasted long.
Unless
you're an old black blues guitar player, you really can't go by Willie. Like, it's just a
motorcycle spike in your left hand at all times slide. Tom Green ruined my childhood because I had a Freddy Got Finger.
Oh,
so just strips like, Freddy Got Finger. Like, you know what that means, right, guys?
You see, I never would have thought a name like Freddy or Matt or Will, you guys would get tormented. You'd probably think with a strange name like mine, it was Game
Dez?
On. But Dez, it's so obscure. Nothing. They had nothing.
No,
the worst I ever got
Dez
was Carrie Fellebaum came up to me and goes, Dali, you know, that's a tool, right? Like, you're a tool. Like, thanks, Carrie. You nailed it, bro.
Well put.
Yeah.
Crushed it.
As a kid, you have to be terrified of things with your name coming out.
Well, yeah, and
like
also
every Freddy, it's not just you, every Freddy at that age group when that came out, like their lives got significantly worse.
Yeah, me and like all the other auto mechanics from the 50s. Well, the one thing
I feel
like,
worse for, honestly, people who had the very common name Tom Green during all of that.
Yeah, right?
Tom Green, oh, hey.
It was one of those, I think it was an Ellen episode, I can't remember, but they brought on another guy named Tom Cruise. To talk about being named Tom Cruise, and then they surprised
bottom
him.
Of the
Tom
barrel.
Cruise showed up, and
that's
then
great.
Was he happy or was he like?
He was like, oh, he was a you know, but he talked about like he would go to restaurants because he'd make a reservation and be like, the name is Tom Cruise, and then he'd go and be like, hi, I'm here for my reservation, and then he'd see the wait staff visibly get disappointed and then go like, it's not him.
Well, Bill Gates' sister. Supposedly has like a lot of issues with you know, she has a credit card, has Gates at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And like apparently I forget what it was one time where she was like she was buying skis or something. I remember reading this story. She was buying skis and the person was like, oh, Gates, are you related to... And then she, at this point, she's just like, it's too many questions because you're related to Bill Gates. It's too many questions. She's like, no, we just share the same last name. And the woman goes, oh, because if you were, you wouldn't be buying these skis. I was like, okay, fine. It's all my ski choice. You know,
wow.
Sort of bizarre.
I really hope that was just a super sharp salesman who knew who she was. He was
oh,
like,
man.
Oh, then you wouldn't be caught dead buying these.
Well, you should upgrade to these. Well, you know, the thing is, I feel like in this day and age, there needs to be like an app or a website where parents can like log in and just like, it's like, hey, the name that you want. And then it just like, it just scours like Urban Dictionary and like slang posts from like Yahoo chat rooms to be like, will your kid get made fun of? There's a 12% chance that your kid will get made fun of with the name that you want for them. And like, it tells you like, what are all the bad puns and slang terms that can be used to rhyme with your kid?
Get made fun of as a kid, right? Like,
no, but if you have a name like
that's got to be the last thing expecting parents are worried about. They haven't like, even had the kid.
That's me being weird because like on one hand I'm like, okay, you need to get a name that's both unique enough that is not easily misspelled and easily remembered and also not so common that all your social media and email address names are taken, right? I feel like
here's
that's something
the real
that I think
question
about, right?
Do you want your kid to grow up when they there's a 0% chance of them getting made fun of? Like, is that how much do you want to minimize that?
I think it's more important for them to get their
fart and just watch.
I'm not saying
present.
You do follow a boy named Sue and just paint a target on their back, but you know, like the
that's
like,
true.
You there's a lot of character building that you might miss out on if you have a name. That,
I agree.
You know,
did he have a lot of character building?
I mean, it clearly has deeply affected Dez, who's you know
so
a
deep.
Huge piece of shit. But
so deep.
We had a kid in my class who was and they must have known, but like the last name was Narrow Dick.
No, it wasn't.
And not spelled that way. N-A-R-O-D-I-C-K.
It was a part of the population that might...
That's cool. True, but I remember very distinctly. I remember very distinctly.
Average dick width is you know not that 14, big anyway. You know?
40%
like a number two, like, yeah. Like a number two pencil. You know, it's like
a, Matt, you get a little defensive over there.
Hey, there's like he was probably a good kid.
But I remember very distinctly in I think it was 6th or 7th grade. It was a chess tournament, and he was quite good at chess, and he had won
a problem.
But he won a trophy. So imagine a room full of 6th and 7th graders, mm-hmm. chess nerds, and they're announcing the names of people who won. And the guy up there goes, Phil, and like you see, and everyone who knows Phil was like, but you saw the guy take a second and read it aloud in his head,
mm-hmm.
see the room he was in front of, and
chess
then mercifully, Merv is mercifully changed the pronunciation on the fly because like this kid's gonna make fun. So he goes, Phil, neurotic. And then, like, let that hang. And nobody was singing anything.
Yeah.
But then Phil's mom from
of
the room
screams
across.
Narrow dick!
It's narrow dick! And then it was over.
This boy is a narrow dick!
Just a long walk of shame and laughter all the way up.
She just ruined him.
That's all the parents' fault. Like, if you were a parent and your last name was Narrow Dick, the first thing you say, whatever you do, do not join the chess club. Like,
you can do whatever you want. Maybe you should go...
Like, we put you in with a handicap already.
Spend some time in the weight room.
Weight room. Become the quarterback, son. That's what you need to do.
Be cool. Make our name cool.
Poor kid.
But even then, though, he's quite successful, as is everybody who came
whose name Narrow Dick.
Whose name
that's
Narrow
what
Dick.
I was saying. It built character.
I'm from the Long Island Narrow Dicks.
Well, you know, to be fair, we actually had one of our football players on our team was a guy named BJ.
Oh, I knew. I was friends with a kid named BJ growing up.
BJ's not a bad one.
Yeah,
it screwed him up so much he changed his name.
What?
Really?
Yeah, he just changed his name.
Oh. Wait, was his name BJ or were his initials BJ?
I don't even know
at
this
point. Was it B and a J or was it B-E-E?
No, it was like, B dot J dot.
Yeah.
As a name?
We never made fun of anyone with B dot J dot.
That's not a name. That's an acronym, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
like
his initials.
No, I remember because I was friends with a kid named BJ from like 3rd grade through 8th grade.
Mm.
So I saw the arc of kids figuring it out. Yeah. And he was a cool enough kid that it just it was like, all right, I mean,
like, yeah whatever.
Blowjobs are red.
It's like there's that one moment, like there's that moment in time where he could either be the cool kid or make fun of
it.
Yeah. And he said it, and he either was like, shut up, or he was like, yeah, get them from your sister. Everybody goes, whoa! He's like, BJ's cool
BJ,
kid.
You're awesome!
BJ's a cool kid.
Yeah. I want to be friends
so
with
So he
you.
Passed it. But that's like...
You've also got a history. You've got like BJ Blaskowitz from Wolfenstein. Mm-hmm. Like
the restaurant.
Yes. The BJ's
house. Fantastic restaurant, everybody.
Matt Arnold. Freddie wasn't here for this last week. Freddie, you don't realize is that Matt has been taking under-the-table promotional deals. He's been plugging anyone and everyone in the local Burbank region.
Maybe you don't mind like another shout-out to Gaudi Honda in Alhambra. Man, Mike DeVille. Go get a car. Say Matt, say you, Mike DeVille, Gaudi Honda, Alhambra. Go get a car. Great guy.
I just
great,
got a
great
Honda.
Company.
I just. Oh, we haven't talked about
Freddie,
this.
You got the van. That's right.
Oh
the
yeah.
Man with
Freddie,
the van.
I just saw it today.
I'm so proud of you, Freddie, because I remember when you were talking about getting like a death trap motorcycle and yeah. other crap, and I made the hard push for the minivan.
Let's dig into this, Freddie. What'd you get?
So I got the Cadillac of minivans, the Honda Odyssey 2013.
Ooh, nice,
got it on Alhambra.
Leather.
You got it from Mike? Mad Mike?
Got it from Mad Mike DeVille.
Oh my god, Matt, you're doing it, brother. Like,
that's the fifth car that I've sent over to Gaudiano.
He sends you like a fruit basket.
No, yeah, but that's why I'm joking, because I want one. If one person shows up from this podcast that's like not even a friend, like that's pretty impressive. Next time I go there for like an oil change or something, I'm just gonna be like,
Gaudiano.
Come on, hit me up with some t-shirts and mugs, Mike.
In Alhambra, California. Tell them Matt Arnold sent you.
But yeah, it is a pretty swanky vehicle.
Is a minivan.
What so you gotta do like a tell a Matt sent you and you'll get 20% off your car.
That was like an absurd promise. 30% off.
You'll get a free car. If
no money
Matt
down.
Sent you.
No money down. No interest financing. Just go ahead.
Bad buy credit. One. No credit. Yeah. No money. No driver's license.
If you go this
problem.
Saturday, they're having BOGO sales.
Buy one, get one car of equal or lesser value.
Yeah. So I got a minivan, much to the chagrin of my mom, who now is convinced that I'm basically screwed.
How is your mom the one who was upset that you got a minivan?
Because she wants a grandkid, and Fred might as well just said, I'm a monk now, I'm celibate, that's what's going to happen.
No, Fred, why said, a minivan?
Well, okay, so Clint has actually often said this. You know, because it's just as a point of reference, you know those like neck pillows that you wear on an airplane?
Sure.
I had one for a while. It was this orange one that like buttoned up, you inflated it. It was great. It was fantastic. I put it everywhere when traveling. Clint once pointed out, he's like, that right there, Freddie, that's the most Freddie thing in the world. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, it's like you don't care what it looks like. But it makes you comfortable. Like that's basically, he's like, that's what sums you up. Mm-hmm. I was like, so the van, one, incredibly convenient in terms of being able to store stuff. We do a lot of shooting, guys. We do a lot of filming. Storing equipment, hauling stuff around.
Tons of people.
People.
This is such an earnest endorsement of this van. There's no way anyone is not going to think that this is like a paid promotion.
From Gaudi Honda.
Well, you know, it's just such a great van. And, you know, I use it all the time as a debonair YouTube celebrity on the go.
You get 24.8 miles per gallon.
Minivans in general. Because we've talked about this before. Yeah. Like, no offense to you have an SUV, but unless you're using it as a sports utility vehicle,
you might as
kind
well
of a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, minivans are safer. They're more comfortable, they're bigger and they're roomier. They're literally SUVs done better in every single way other than off-roading. And most SUV vehicles don't even can't even really off-road anymore.
No,
like you have to get, there's only a certain ones that are like, this is actual sports utility.
Like Range Rover,
it's just aesthetics, and I don't
Nissan.
Even get that.
Yeah. So it's
get a minivan.
Great for hauling stuff. And then people countered. Great for hauling stuff. Well, why don't you get a truck? Here's why.
Sorry. Will Scott just put me on my ass. It's bourbon and it's smooth as hail.
Oh, my God.
Eagle Rare, the minivan. I just drank some melted glass.
You just walked that down with a cool
Coca-Cola slice of BJ's Brewhouse pizza brought to you by Domino's.
Sponsored, by the way, it's Coca-Cola, sponsor of the Streamies, which we're fresh off of. Yeah, yeah. We noticed that.
Every 5 seconds.
So I got a minivan.
To carry all the Streamies.
That stone gonna really help.
So the best part about buying a minivan as someone in their 20s.
Can you just get the Streamies mounted in the dash?
Everything.
Oh, you got to put one as your hood ornament.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That would be awesome.
And the Webby has the antenna.
Yeah. Oh, my little...
And just be the douchebag
in Hollywood, just tearing down Las Vegas.
Can you imagine showing up, assuming that we get nominated next year, which may not happen, but showing up to valet with, like, Streamies attached to your car.
Just duct tape to the top of your minivan.
No, just hardcore epoxied on. It's like, what are those? Like, those are my Streamies.
Those are my Streamies,
it's just covered in bird shit. Dead mosquitoes.
So the funniest thing about buying a minivan in your 20s is when I went to go buy it, go through the whole process of purchasing the auto, nobody, at every step of the way, nobody believed what was happening. Like, the first person who showed me the car was like, oh, okay, do you mean, like, literally, like, oh, do you mean the Accord? Like, no. The Odyssey, the minivan. Like, okay, we have a few over here. And just sort of looking at me, she's like, so is your wife going to be joining you later? Not married, no kids. I'm like, oh. And so I tried to do a little.
This makes me so happy. I love it.
I tried to do a little fast riffing with her. I was like, so.
Trying to get that wife, huh?
The Odyssey. tell me, most people buying this, what are they like? 20s, just out of college, right? Guys just out of college. And she's like, no, mostly their families. I'm like, really? I never would have expected that. She's like, no, it's all families. I was like, okay, never mind. All right, I'm just going to continue. So then I go through the process, purchase it. And then even the guy, like, fine, like the salesman test drive, like, you want test drive the Odyssey? Like, it was always just like the question at the end of it. And then even the finance guy. So the finance guy, right? The last step of the process, the smoothest operator, really the guy who's making a lot of the money for the dealership, because it's up to him to upsell you on your options and all your extra stuff. If you're smart,
please tell me you gave him the XXX where you were like, I want all that in there. Just the full press, full court press.
So even he, like, trying to read the situation like a salesman, and to be fair, quite good, was like, all right, first thing he's going to lead off with, he's going to say hello, and then he's going to start relating a story about the most memorable car sale he ever made, which was to a couple who bought a minivan, and the wife was pregnant, and then literally the van drove the wife to the hospital and all this, and he got calls. This whole thing, I'm like, that's cool. I'm not married, and I don't have kids. He's just Stonewall stopped him. He's like, oh, well,
he probably thought you were like 40 years old, by the way.
Because I got the Asian thing going.
You could be 22 or like 40.
Everybody at any point was looking around like, where's his wife? Where's his kids? And so again, anyway, so that was like,
his wife and kids died in a minivan.
That was the happiest day of my life. Give me another
nobody
one.
But, so that was, I think, probably the funniest part. It was just constant, just every step of the way.
I would have loved it if that salesman is, he just looks at it and he's like, this is YouTube money. I can smell a tuber every time they walk in. Here.
Always
so
those
how many just hit, first question, just how many subscribers you got?
Yeah. Oh man, that would be incredible.
You're a YouTuber?
You're a YouTuber? Right this way.
So the minivan.
There's the GoPro mount.
And the other thing is, so I was like looking through the brochure of the minivan, and they have this in the center console. They have like cars nowadays, they'll have like a little dash, and you can, it has a little screen. There's a little like 5-6 inch screen. So you put a wallpaper on the screen, and of course in the brochure all the wallpapers are like pictures of like white kids, like the kid, the family, and their kids. So first thought,
one of your whitest children.
So the first thought was like, okay, well, my wallpaper's got to be like three random white kids. Mm-hmm. It's like, who are these guys, Freddie?
How are you gonna get that picture?
That's a good question. I was stock photo, go Shutterstock or something, okay. Get the stock photo or something. And then the other
white
thought was,
kids sending photos to your family to Rock and Jump.
Then the other thought was, no, actually, it should just, the photo on the wallpaper should be a picture of me driving the minivan, so that the picture inside the minivan is a picture of me driving the minivan.
So that's your whole family is what you're saying.
It's very sad, but when you put it that way, but yeah.
It should be a picture of the front two seats.
Should be you and your brother hugging. So that'd be a nice picture.
Just
you
naked.
That'd be a weird picture.
It's you with your arm around like a dotted outline of a woman with a question mark in it. So anytime a woman comes in, it's like, that could be you.
Well, the other thing is also,
we have a wonderful future.
The minivans in the back, they have like the outlines of like human beings, like the little like sandals or like the little like stick figure families. I just have like just me.
That'd be a reality
me
show.
Is you and then a little stick figure van.
It's like Cash Cab, but it's you in a minivan and you like pick up women.
Well, no, this brings up a very
come in instead of like, I will drive you where you want to go, but let's play a game show and you could be this.
This brings up a very interesting set of questions. Freddie, do you plan on dating? And if so, do you plan on taking these women out in the Honda Odyssey? And if so, how do you expect them to
and
respond?
If so,
how do I join in on this? So first of all, guys, you ever have a quadruple date? Because with the minivan and the seating capacity of 8, you can have a quadra date.
You're really selling this to the polyamory crowd right now. Guys, so, it's the most convenient way to get to and from your orgies.
So the funny thing about that is I remember my mom was telling me about that. She's like, Freddie, if you buy this fucking car,
right, it's over, dude.
You might as well just give up entirely. Like, I'm just
no, you just excluding yourself from women who only want like a Ferrari.
Men who don't drive minivans.
Like, if I was a woman, I would totally be into Freddie with a minivan. Like, that seems like a reasonable guy who's got his shit together. I'm like, that guy's cool. He's like,
and he's confident. He's not overcompensating. Yeah. Because it's like, here's the thing, like, most guys our age, like, our income, like, are driving, like, a Matt's car.
Yeah, an Accord.
An Accord. Yeah.
Brought to you by Gally Honda. Also
like,
a wonderful
everyone
vehicle.
Else who works at Rocket Jump.
Like, if you're going to date a guy who's going to drive an Accord, you're not going to look at a guy in a minivan and be like, "Ew, no, thank you." Like,
no, but well, you were going
to
go.
I made the point to my mom. Well, I didn't. You're only going to go high if he's got candy in there, and it's like a weird.
Not
like,
even.
But Freddy will
really
have
nice.
Candy in there.
But that'll be nice.
I'll have sodas.
Freddy will have sodas in the cooler, which comes included.
Oh yeah, yeah. Freddy's like, "Hey, babe, I got sodas and board games. Hop on in."
Yeah, I was like, guess what, motherfucker?
I would dig that, Freddy.
I got a cool box. It keeps things cool. Not that cold, actually, as I found. But
it's cool.
I keep things cool like ladies' heads.
Whoa! Well, I did make that point to my mom. I said, "Mom, maybe the kind of person who would reject me outright based on the vehicle I drive is not the kind of person I'm interested
right.
in the
sure.
long term."
That
she
makes
said,
sense.
"You're an idiot."
Yeah, I also buy her response. Yeah.
She's like, "You just need somebody fertile that can give me a grandchild."
Like, ASAP. Nah. Yeah. Like, she's putting all her eggs in the Jimmy Wong basket.
Yeah. I think we should follow up on this every week. I want to know how
like
this progresses.
Like minivan updates?
I think
America's
minivan
putting
date
all
updates.
Its eggs in the Jimmy Wong
You know
basket.
What? As a matter of fact, Rocket Jump should just install a bunch of GoPros in there, and then we can just record all your dates. You don't even have to talk about them. We'll cut it into
well,
a show.
This does kind of get into like one of my secret fantasies is I want to drive an Uber for a while because I think I'd be really good at being an Uber driver.
You can
call Uber right now and make that happen.
Well, yeah. No, because here's the thing. Because one, it actually is more difficult now. It's not the boom days of Uber because now there's like a waiting list and there's a lot of kind of time to get into it. But because for a hot second. And if anyone who followed my Twitter may have like surmised this, I was getting Uber credit for tweeting about Uber. Mm-hmm. So like I had a lot of Uber credit.
Out, just to say.
Huh?
What?
What?
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, I took some of those Uber rides.
Well, because here I'll put it this way. It timed up really well with the fact that the Wongmobile,
car.
I had no car.
So I was like, that was your saving grace. I remember I was like, I have no car. I need to get a car. I can't get a car right now. There's like Uber. Tweet about Uber. I can go everywhere I need to go now. And everywhere, if I went out with you somewhere, it was like we were Ubering, no matter what.
Because I had no choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had no vehicle. I had a motorcycle for a bit. But
which was just all of us just being like,
Freddy's going to freaking die on that motorcycle.
Because I've ridden Uber enough that over the course of the time, I've been in the car with like the top three Uber drivers in Los Angeles, guys with like been doing it from the beginning and stuff. And I've like picked their brain and like sort of put together like this whole like, I have an idea of like how to be the absolute perfect Uber driver.
What is it?
Like, there's a lot of things. So I think
step one: don't crash your car.
So it's very specific language when you talk to people. Like I've noticed that across people with like highest ratings was like, for example, like I was talking to one guy, and basically what came down to was this: if you ask someone how to get to where they go, if they have a preferred route or whatever that is, there is a portion of the population who'll say, "You're the driver, you should know." One star. If you don't ask them, there's a portion of the population who will think, "Well, this guy's ripping me off. This guy's going a route that I don't take." One star. So it's like it's almost like a weird damned if you do, damned if you don't. So the best Uber drivers I found universally all adopt some variation of the following phraseology, which is, "Hi, it looks like your destination is blank. I'm going to take this route, either through Waze or whatever." It's like, "Do you have an alternate preferred route?" Mm-hmm. And like that's the exact, almost to the word, the exact phrase.
I sound like a robot.
Yeah.
One star.
Yeah,
I want a social guy.
This guy sounds like a tool. No stars.
But anyway,
what's the incentive of being a high rated Uber driver? Because do you see the ratings when you
do? And it's like a 5-star thing. And
what's the lowest Uber driver? I mean, have you seen like a 1-star Uber
off.
Driver?
If you get low enough, you get kicked off the system.
Okay,
and low enough is like 4.6, 4.7 in Los
really?
Angeles. We're very
wow.
It's a very
so you
high threshold.
When you call up Uber and you see that patch of cars circling around your area, can you actually select whom you want to pick you up?
No,
you just press a little button.
But you as a user have a rating. Like you as a user of Uber, they can rate you low if the drivers can actually counter rate you and be like, "This guy is a loudmouth asshole." And so like people who are like low rated may not get their rides picked up because they'll be like, "Ah," the driver will be like, "I don't want to risk this."
I like that.
I do like that.
Imagine if that worked with game companies. It was like, we don't like this kid playing our games. He just doesn't get the TLC or this.
Right. That'd be incredible.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, oh, dude, hey, there's something we can talk about. I'm sorry, that,
Oh,
just,
no.
Do we want to,
I mean,
it's, you know why? Because it's the most.
It's got to be more interesting than hearing Freddie drone on about taxis. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
It's, the problem with Gamer, here's the problem I'm talking about. One, I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Two, I'm one for discourse and discussion on different points of, different sides of an argument. Three, I don't think there is different sides of this argument. I think it's just objectively you are fucking assholes. And four, everybody who doesn't feel that way can stop watching this podcast and we don't care and doesn't follow us any. Like, you know what I mean? It's like I don't know what to discuss other than like, yeah, hey, a big part of the gaming community are huge assholes.
Because I can't look away. And a lot of the it is funny that like I feel like a lot of the articles that I'm reading now, it is just the same article over and over again, where it's just like, this is bad that these people are being morons.
And I've had people like tweet, and like some of them are like, there's like ones who are just like outright like, oh my god, like terrible, like I hate everybody, I hate women, blah 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 blah. There's other people who are just like, I just don't get it, like just, and because he says like, what, I know it's not relevant to you, Matt, but it's relevant to some of us because, you know, it's a social injustice happening. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm misunderstanding this person. He must clearly be on the other side of this discussion because he's talking about social injustice. Like, oh, what social injustice do you mean? And they're like, you know, forcing their identity politics on us, and it's just like, he wasn't mean about it. It's just so wrong and just like blind and non empathetic to literally 51% of the population, and also just blind to how the vast majority of other people in the entire world feel who aren't privileged white males. Mm-hmm. That it's just, there's really, I there are people who are good at it. There are people I've met who can talk to people like that and know how to, and I just can't. Like, I don't have that skill. I couldn't be a social worker. So.
Well, I took a moment. Well, so you probably saw this, but when we're doing a sound mix, like on the side, I was like, I do want to dig into it a little bit because I truly believe that most people arrive at whatever their opinion is from a reasoned place. From wherever that is, there is a
process.
And I think
most people are decent people.
And I think most people are really kind of decent people when you get down to it. So like, I took a moment on Twitter to like really drill into some conversations with this, like long back and forth over the course of like 6 hours, like hundreds of back and forths, you know. And what really kind of came down to was, aside from obviously a few people who are like, yeah, of course they deserve rape threats and whatever threats come their way, they brought them upon themselves, which is like, okay, you're just being like completely insane. This is just a weird thing to say about any like human being, like let alone any, yeah, anyway. Mm-hmm. But what really kind of came down to was just sort of like, yeah, but here's what it was. There was an inability to separate the message from the messenger, you know. And it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, well, but she did this bad, so therefore I can safely ignore this message and I can like plug my ears, which is like, okay, I understand like how you're able to do it, but on the other hand, we do that all the time. We separate the message from the messenger constantly, because if that wasn't the case, no one would watch Seinfeld. Seinfeld married like a 14-year-old girl. Nobody watched Charlie Chaplin movies.
Wait, what?
She wasn't 14.
Was she in a relationship with Woody Allen?
She was young, but
Woody
Allen. You need to
check nobody watched Woody
she
Allen.
She was
movies.
Not underage.
Nobody would watch. But here's my point. But here's my point.
Yeah, sorry,
but,
Jerry.
But here's my point. Throughout the history,
I divorced myself.
Are you? I just want to make sure. Are you comparing Anita Sarkeesian like screwing up with a couple of her references to Woody Allen potentially?
No, not necessarily. No, not that.
I don't think it's as like, I think the best comparison, because it's something that I think is relatable to everybody, and it's nowhere near the same sort of, frankly, like crime against like kind of a part of our own humanity and the mistreatment of women and other, you know, whatever, small minorities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like Napster, right? Like, we all were stealing for a long time, not thinking it was wrong. It was like, we're stealing. Woo, this is great time. Like, we're having a good time. It'd be like if you just could watch porn in class and your parents gave you porn all the time. And then one day they're like, we shouldn't do that in public. Like, right? It's like, we're all stealing music, and then one day they're like, that shouldn't happen. And a lot of people lash out and get really upset.
Well,
it's the same thing. It's just a lot of people who, they like their pornographic games, they like the games a certain way, they like this kind of insular society they have because they're awkward males. And I say this as a person who was an awkward male, still is an awkward male, but definitely an awkward male during high school, and that's why I don't even have to dig into it, because I lived this. Like, I know exactly what it's like to be those kids. And they got to just deal with, you know, big-breasted women in all their games, not having to deal with girls on their games. They didn't have to talk to them while they were playing. And then all of a sudden, one day, everybody's like, that's wrong. Like, can you stop doing that, please? Like, mm-hmm. Like, it makes me feel really shitty as a person. And they're like, no! Like, they don't know how to respond to, because that's what they've lived.
Here's what, to me, is amongst the other, the many things that kind of drive me up the wall about the whole kind of toxic discourse going on. But to me, the real great irony of it, or one of the real great ironies of it, is that you get a bunch of boys in a room within 5 minutes they're going to be complaining about video games. And why? Because they everyone on both sides of the issue just wants less shit games. Like,
yeah.
And like the if you look at the like removing some of the gendered critique, a lot of the stuff that Anita Sarkeesian is talking about is stuff that these guys already hate. Like,
it's just bad storytelling.
Shitty storytelling, generic bad guys, the same monotonous crap over and over again.
Like the, in like, any form.
It's like you get a bunch of people in a Kotaku comment section who are going to be shitting on Assassin's Creed, being like, Assassin's Creed sucks, blah, 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 blah. And then a woman comes along and says, hey, Assassin's Creed kind of sucks. And it's like, how dare
you? Well, the other thing, and also, I would note, and this is sort of a point that I've brought up before, which is like, if you really take a second to look at like the Feminist Frequency videos, and like just read the text as presented to you, because that's the other huge thing I noticed is that like there's a lot of cases where people are like, well, they're saying this. It's like, no, you're bringing that to the table. Like, just look at what the text is being presented to you. It's like, it's like freshman college level discourse. It's not hard, complex issues here.
Well,
it's
I think very deliberately. Basic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and mm-hmm. I don't have a problem.
Well,
yeah.
We talked about this before, which
but
is like
it's very basic.
No, and it's also it's as non-confrontational as possible.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey, it's like this. It's like, hey, this is a thing. This is a pattern that shows up. Here's some examples.
Well,
of
that's the
game.
Crazy thing
it's
is
like,
that,
and it's like, if you're gonna sit around and tell me that video games are art, you tell me that you can't handle this art form, this precious art form of yours being taken at
these guys don't see. Here's the thing: these guys don't want. They don't care about.
They're not the same people who think video games. They indulge in video games. Is power fantasies and so forth, which is, mm-hmm. you know, a big part of what games are. Games are different than other art forms in terms that it can be very, very indulgent if done the wrong way, and can be power fantasies, and they don't want mm-hmm. to lose those power fantasies, which is exactly all this is about. Sorry, people, that's all it is. And there's also, and we're talking about that, the same thing, which is like, what she's saying are just facts. Like, they're all facts. They're not really worth arguing about.
That's like, yes, there man, it's like, yes,
occasional,
yes.
When she presents 100 ideas, yes, one video she may have gotten is not exactly the scenario she said. But that's the fact that people get so upset about that is insane, because she's not saying anything controversial. It's like literally like, hey, women are like in refrigerators all the time and they're beaten up a lot. More so than men are.
Well, no, that's not the point of the hitman. It's like, right. That's not what I'm saying either. Like, you're right. Okay.
No,
yes,
but what she could be
point.
Saying, it would be interesting, and I think there's a reason why she doesn't, because we're not even at that basic discourse yet with video games, would be stuff like, and it is because gaming culture is misogynist. Like, that, like, if she said that, at least I could understand, like, the anger.
But
and,
she
like,
doesn't, yeah.
She doesn't, and she should, because it's true. And, like, absolutely.
By virtue of the response.
And all I will get is some of you, who I hope you don't listen anymore, will just get upset at me and just say, like, oh my God, Matt's an asshole, and Matt's just trying to make a point, he's white knighting, blah, blah, blah. If I was a girl and I said that, I would get death threats and say I should be raped and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's freaking insane. Like, it's just... And you, I think you said it best, which is like the comforting part of this is that this is what happens when is somebody's losing. Like, this is just the last dying cry, because the reason it's timed out now is because the culture has just had to as games got to become more popular. Like, not just women, but like moms are playing it, older people are playing it. It's gone all over the place. It's social games, etc., etc., etc. Like, the insular group of gaming has slowly felt smaller and smaller and smaller.
What's the identity that's being lost?
And the things that they care about, you know, whether it's Xbox now being more about entertainment, is losing themselves more and more and more. And where they can safely, you know, explore their own power fantasies or whatever it is they want to do with games, get smaller and smaller. And now all their game journalistic sites, like, at first, like, screw Destructoid, like, they talk about women's stuff all the time. Oh, screw Polygon, they talk about women's stuff all the time. There was one day where they're like, oh shit, everybody's talking about this.
Well, there must be a giant conspiracy.
I guess I just go to Reddit. I guess all I have is Reddit now. And
here's what's frustrating about that to me is that from where I sit, it's not. There's that feeling, but like, I wish some of these people would realize, like, your world is not getting smaller.
I know, it's bigger and it's more
Grand
inclusive.
Grand Theft Auto 5, which is revels in every juvenile trope you could possibly imagine, just made like half a billion dollars on its opening day. Like, that part of the market is still strong and it's making tons of money. All that's happening is the world is expanding. It's not shrinking. Yeah.
Well, but you see the same response though to things like, it's authenticity, right? No True Scotsman is the same thing a lot now. It's like, there's the NPD came out where it's like, oh, a lot of girls are gamers now. And they're like, what?
Not real gamers.
Like, we are. You know,
it's also crazy about the lack of maturity of it. And, like, again, as a whole, it'll probably get better in terms of just the whole, like, they'll just be silenced. Like, they just won't have as much of a voice as time goes on. Because we're talking about this, it's like hip hop. Like, right? We, like,
yeah.
It's like, I love Eminem. I've just been re-listening to him again.
Because yeah, guess
I think
who's the most like,
and if you're
sexist
like, hey,
dude.
And if you're like, hey, Eminem is really misogynist and full of really misogynist shit, I'd be like, you're right. That's one thing that's interesting about him. Because he'll have one song that is this brilliant apology to his mom, and then the next song will be talking about beating up gay people and hating women. So it makes him a fascinating character because sometimes I don't know where he lies. And I can accept that you would declare it sexist, and I agree, but I can still
and
enjoy
I can listen
it
to that
on an
song
artistic level, Freddie.
And enjoy that song. Yeah.
Whereas, and if you tell me, hey, it's like, hey, Matt, Grand Theft Auto is sexist, is misogynist, I'm like, you're right. Sometimes I just want to fly an airplane into a building, though, and sometimes I just want to have good time. I know bad timing is literally
bad
the
timing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, but you know what I mean. It's like sometimes I just want to have
and
a
what's
fun
interesting,
game,
and
what'd
be interesting
that.
Is I would love to go back and like to
I
the
don't get
80s.
Defensive about it.
I'd love to go back to the 80s and see the discourse around hip hop culture and be like, hey, some of these hip hop guys are really sexist. Like, were girls getting death threats for saying that? Like, I feel like it's like, I don't know, but it's one of those things where it's like, to me, it's the same thing. It's like, yes, stuff's indulgent, stuff is pornographic, and people indulge in that stuff, and that's human beings, right? That doesn't mean that you can do it just blindly, willy-nilly, without realizing or thinking about what the implications of that stuff is. It's irresponsible consumerism that way. But like at the same time, it's like, well, look, you can still like Eminem and still acknowledge all the inherent issues with him as a person, his lyrical content, his types of music. In the same way, you can be like, yeah, you're right. There's big issues here in like the Hitman series.
Or I like Lovecraft, even
beyond,
he's
beyond that, I would even say that because the sort of chestnut with games is that like games don't affect us and they don't cause violence and all this other stuff, which I don't. But
I think
if you subscribe to that belief, a counterpart to that should be the ability to be like to recognize the problematic aspects of something and be like, I understand that, but I don't let it affect me.
Sure,
like that's like a basic I think that goes part and parcel.
And to me,
with
it's like
philosophy.
You're not. And that's to me, it's like we're not even past like the hey guys. Can you even recognize this? Because it's so couched in like the... Because also another argument I hear a lot also is, well, it's getting better on its own. They don't need to say anything. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, right. So just things are going to get better on its own and nobody should talk about it. And so nobody should...
Well,
like,
it is getting
strange.
Better because people are talking
right,
about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the whole thing. I think you can't look away because it's just... I think as we've gotten older and we have jobs and we just don't get to play games as much anymore, it's like a rare thing. Like, we get to play Mario Kart, like, sometimes at work, and I, like, really value when, like, a game comes out I really care about. But, like, I was, like, a gamer. Like, there's a reason why we have a lot of gaming stuff and why we made a show called Video Game High School. Like, I play games all the time.
No, the people who wrote Video Game High School clearly know nothing about video games.
I was on IGN boards before most people watching the show even knew IGN existed or were even born. Like, I was there when it was N64. Like, I love this stuff. I've been part of gaming culture. I follow the blogs. I know most of the editors, like, from other websites they're on. Like, I love that aspect of it, and I was always one that like told my parents, like, I want to do video games are art. Like, I love this. Like, the gaming culture is a lot easier to work with than film culture, which is full of egotistical assholes. Like, it was all this,
but
like,
none of those in gaming culture.
Well, that's all like my philosophy coming into it. It's like, I love gaming culture so much, and you all fucking it up. Like, it's this dream. And honestly, when I say all, most of the people who are watching are awesome.
Well,
but
that, honestly, but, one of the things I've been blown away by with our fan base is how rad
it's true
is.
And they really are. And I think it's because if you keep watching Video Game High School, you probably are not that sort of gamer.
You like
cheesy, silly, earnest, heartfelt stuff.
We didn't turn you off.
Here's a query I will pose.
Yes, indeed.
I feel like... is it just a way... Because I feel like the sexism and stuff like that has been present in gaming for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
But you look at it in the 90s, and you look at it in the 80s, and a lot of it seems more harmless. Like, yeah. Or it seems
well,
like this
more juvenile.
It seems like a it's more
like
80s, overt...
It's like
you
80s
compare,
movies are... Like, we were talking about John Hughes movies have, like... pretty rapey culture in it, you know. It's like it's kind of weird, but like even that feels different than now, you know.
It feels uglier now, and I don't know if it's something where honestly, because to me the classic comparison is Duke Nukem 1990, like Duke Nukem 3D versus Duke Nukem now, or like, and there's the same stuff. There's like the chicks like in the alien pods and stuff like that, but like the 90s Duke Nukem had sort of like a freewheeling innocence to its machoness,
whereas
there's like a seemed to be a hatred
game. I think you know what it is though, I think that might be our age at that time versus our age
now. No, because you go now, I mean, and again, not like by no means like sociologists or expert at any of this stuff, but like if I were to like my guess at this would be it was probably less harm it probably seems less harmless to us as males, you know. Right. But back then, it's probably just as excluding and upsetting. But because the female, you know, because there wasn't that response to it, it was just innocent. Because like, ha ha ha, like women have boobs and we all want to have sex with them, and they should be objects in the game. Like, ha. But now that they're speaking out rightfully about the fact that they should be trans, in order to continue to do that, there must be some sort of defense in this, some sort of response to it. And because there's a response to like the basic right of like, hey, I want to be treated equally as a human being, it would just absolutely come off as uglier. Like, because if you were just innocent and naive about it, then you'd be like, oh, yeah, shit.
It was the Garden of Eden, right? It was the context devoid.
That response. You're like, I guess there's nothing wrong with this. And now it's like, there is something wrong with it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I will say some of the magazine ads of the 80s and 90s are like, insanely so. Like, you're like, whoa.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Dude, even the Nintendo ones. Have you seen that Game Boy Pocket ad?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff. And again, it's because they're like, this is for boys, and boys, it's okay to...
Yeah, and you don't realize it's like, what it becomes is like, well, those times were innocent and naive, so screw it. Like, we're going to actively ignore, like, this group of humanity and just, like, do it it becomes uglier.
I will say this to kind of, from a perspective point, is that I do wonder how I would have reacted as a 14-year-old.
No, that's what I mean. When I say I was that kid, like, I sincerely hope I wouldn't, but I very well could have been a Gamergate guy. And also, like, just to be perfectly honest, like, I don't think everybody, like, I'm lucky enough that, like, I met a girl who I love and is super independent, super, super smart, and super feminist, and, like, truly believes in it, and she challenges me every day. And honestly, like, for people who don't have that, like, I don't know how judging I can be, because I'm lucky in that regard.
Well, and so it's interesting, because I remember getting a little bit into a Twitter thing.
Freddy's never going to get there, because the whole
never there. The minivan will keep me there forever.
driving away, a strong, capable, independent woman who does not need a man and can date a guy with a minivan.
Godfrey, with all this talking, it's a white van, it's just named that thing the White Knight. Wait, all this talking you're talking about, jeez.
Get a big fedora on.
So I got into a Twitter thing with a guy, and it was like really kind of, and I was like, well, hold on. I took a second look at his username, and I don't remember what it was, but it was like tits and lips. And I was like, oh, God. I was like, I'm just going to tell you this right now, man. In 10 years, you're going to look back at this time, and you're going to shake your head.
You hope
and
so.
And I'm not going to.
So. But those Sarkeesian project guys are like, 30-something years old and should fucking know better as human beings.
But you're going to feel embarrassment over this username. I know it. I'm not going to continue this discussion because you have a little bit of growing up to do, and you will come to this realization all on your own without any help.
There's
from
one
me.
Good benefit, which were you talking about this with me? And it might have been actually also, but like, it's also just like younger kids are the most tolerant generation we've had.
Yeah, no, that's
like,
what I'm
like,
about this, yeah.
Like, gay couples is not, like, a weird thing, even in younger schools now. Like, race is less of an issue. Like, people, like, I do feel like the younger generation is just accepting more, and I honestly do think most of this response is kind of 15 and above, and mostly probably even our age guys who want it to be the way that it used to be. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm hoping that the younger generation is just more tolerant, because they are just getting, and that's why it's worth like fighting and white knighting if you want to be an asshole about it, this stuff, because hopefully it just makes it less, you know, of a problem for kids that are growing up.
Right. Yeah, it's like, heaven forbid that we fight for more inclusiveness and for that more people feel less like estranged from something. No, that's a bad thing. Oh, heavens.
Well, it's also, to me, it's like this thing where it's like, you don't have to, like, no one's forcing you to watch these reviews. Like, you know, I read this thing and people are like, it's really annoying to have to put up with this stuff.
Yeah, they said that too. Annoying that they're forcing their
Go make a gaming website that doesn't talk about that stuff and hang out there. Like, you don't have to, like, you're there. Someone else's right to express themselves is not trumpeted by Trump.
Like, do you need another website other than Reddit? You have plenty of content there. Enjoy yourselves.
The internet, the most narrow-minded, narrow place in the world. Yeah. Only three websites. Ah, again with the Gamergate stuff. Where do I go on this internet? Who would have thought that this would just pollute all of the internet?
It's so annoying as we're reminded that women aren't treated properly. I mean, thank God I'm not a woman. Have to be reminded of that every single day. It's I can't take it. Anyways, yeah, I have
anyway.
Yeah,
but who but wants to talk
really
about
Gamergate? I really want to do a thing where you interview male game developers with just the exact questions that like female game developers or female writers get. You know, it's like, so hey,
oh, like what's it like to be a man in the industry?
Yeah, right,
or
it's
weird playing stuff like that. And then like Olivia Wilde had her male co-stars like read like roles that she was like
giving out for.
Or was it Olivia Munn? I forget who it was. Olivia. Olivia Wilde or Olivia Munn had like her male co-hosts, like co-stars read scripts, like her parts that they were offering. They're like, all these roles suck. Like they're all like even like strong female roles, they think so. It's just because the actress is good and they bring something to it. Yeah. But they realize like there's nothing on the page here for me. And like, wow, yeah, it's, you know, it's true. So
looking forward to Mirror's Edge 2, I'll say that.
Heyo. Let's talk about the fun part of
that. That was an underrated game, I thought.
I love Mirror's Edge.
It was over a bit too soon. But I really liked what that game had going on.
It was over a bit too soon. It was over a bit too soon, simultaneously also too long, because they had like there were certain segments that just didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that wasn't just like the straight parkouring.
It was one of those ones where you were like, this is a great first game.
Yeah,
no, they're gonna nail this.
Also,
on
it took me a second to get it, but it was like the moment that I changed my mind from first person shooter to puzzle game. It completely clicked for me.
Oh,
and everybody like kind of started doing the parkour stuff and things since it, but nobody's really matched like the feeling of it.
Oh, it had a great tactile.
It felt real and heavy, and it being the first person view instead of a third person was a totally different experience.
Well,
like,
it's that's what I was, because I went from that to Assassin's Creed, and Assassin's Creed is like press X to parkour.
Yeah,
whereas
you just hold X to parkour.
You had like each like the legs and the arms, like it was all controlled by different stuff. Like it was a really neat system.
Yeah, I love. Well, that was a great transition. We just got from straight to Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge.
You know, they did an iPad game. That's actually
the iPad
good.
Game is pretty slick.
Yeah,
it's a
fun Twitch little racing game. I enjoy it.
All
Mirror's
right.
Edge. Mirror's Edge 2.
In the future, without email, parkour people will jump around skyscrapers and send packages to each other.
Yeah, in the future, without courier services or drugs.
Or color.
Future,
when is the second one coming out?
Pretty soon, I think.
Right.
I don't know.
All right. That's something to look forward
to. By the way, Rocket Jump Podcast, where do you come from, the most informed gaming commentary?
Destiny? Matt has Destiny
going. You're
playing
Destiny right now.
It's doing its job.
Yeah, Gamergate 2 right now. Yeah. Matt's about to drop some truth bombs about Destiny.
No, because everybody seems to be saying the same thing about Destiny, which is like...
Real quick, you don't support Mad Mike from Rowdy Honda's Patreon, do you? Because that would
Gowdy
be...
Gowdy
Honda's...
What's Patreon?
Never mind. It's another Gamergate joke.
No.
That would be a scandal. I'm trying to expose... I'm trying to expose corruption right now, man.
Damn it.
Real quick. We had one of the most epic text message strings... For a while, where we were talking about what are these gamer guys? If you cast them as like film noir guys, trying to root out corruption.
Forget it, Jake. It's Gamertown.
Jake, it's gaming. He's like, he adjusted his Naruto headband and cracked his knuckles. It was like a whole thing. Where it was anyway.
So anyway, Destiny. Back to Destiny.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's cool.
Like fine.
It does enough to like let me forget. How much we have work to do on VGHS for like 2 hours.
Oh, a little VGHS update. We're in post-production. We're entering the final stretch, last month of post-production, which means Matt and I are going to be spooning on the couch here at the office for the next 30 days.
By the way, I want to point out, if you can show to the camera, your class of 2012 Kickstarter supporter shirt, which is half of Matt's wardrobe.
I got sat down by Ashley this weekend.
No way.
And she brought me into the room and showed me a pile of blue, which was, I shit you not, 15 shirts that I've slowly just kept coming back home to get washed, because if I sleep here, I just go and take a Kickstarter shirt and put it on, and then I come home
Get your shirt.
By the way, please contact us.
Chances are Matt has sweat through it.
Yeah. Matt's had all the arguing over.
We do have extras, guys. If you haven't gotten your shirt yet,
we should sell those.
She said, "You can keep three of these, Matt."
We should sell them.
We should sell them.
The special Matt version.
Yeah.
Matt one?
Yeah. Okay. You don't want that.
God.
The one
Hashtag
that Matt
wore.
The MXL.
I think the lowest was like there was it was definitely last year where like I walked into the room where the shirts were and I was wearing one. It was like I'd been in it for like 2 days and it was just like there's stains on it and like Freddie was sleeping in the hammock. I was like. Just off, open up another one on.
What lap of luxury you must like suckle the teeth out of every single night? Where it's like you're sitting there, just opening new shirts. Like that's like
they have rap songs about that. Never wearing the same shirt every day. I think they're talking about identical Kickstarter supporters.
I've got a weird scenario.
You didn't even support the Kickstarter.
This is like the second time in my life I got in weird scenarios where I just lost the shirts because I was that EA rep in college. You remember that?
Yes.
I was EA rep in college.
Let's regale. Yeah. Real quick. EA has still
I think they still have
a program at colleges where they pick
more gamer corruption going on.
Yeah, they paying I'm
to work for Electronic Arts, and now he's talking about Gamergate.
I was talking about Mirror's Edge today. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Where they pick, they'll pick a person at the place or a group of people at the campus to become an EA rep, and they'll do events. They'll have, like, Madden events, or they'll do, like...
It was cool because you get the game early, usually, and it was around the time when Mirror's Edge came out. It was also the Orange Box, which came out, and I got it early. God. So, like, you get a... But you, essentially, you get a package from them, and it'd be like, here's 10 games.
Give
here's
away.
Like 100 shirts.
Give
here's
them away.
Posters, et cetera, et cetera. And all you had to do was give them away and like throw an event. And then your job was essentially really to
document
take pictures and make it look like you did a good job, DA, which I didn't do a great job, but I was really good at making it look like I did a good job.
Matt
like,
was
like,
insane
I remember when we did like
that.
Rock
I hope
Band.
Your EA boss is watching right now.
I'm sure she. I remember when we had EA. Because there's Rock Band.
That's
you're,
right.
And you're a pretty big deal with Rock Band. And we did it at like that at the at like Ground Zero or whatever,
which was,
it was.
The coffee house on campus where they did open
and,
mic nights.
And yeah, and it was there was like 100 something people there because it was just the normal night of like music playing and nothing to do with EA.
No,
but like you were there, so I took pictures of like just a whole crowd watching Rock Band happen and people playing and posters and like this guy needs to get hired. Like
this I was
like
a this, God. They literally brought
me.
No.
Brought
Hold
me,
on.
They brought me to train that. People.
They that, brought like, him in as the ringer. They brought like, him in as the Alec Baldwin.
So are you always telling them how to scam EA.
Like A B. I'm here because of EA. EA sent me on a mission EA's of mercy. The good news is you're fired. The bad news.
Yep.
I did. Oh my God.
That video.
How first prize is a copy of the Orange Box. You know what second prize is?
Fires.
Set of steak
knives. We were going to do that in season 3.
Yeah,
the
main problem
is second prize is a set of Mad Cats controllers. Third prize is you're fired.
Second place is a split second t-shirt.
Man, so exactly Matt, what we're talking
so
about.
Matt
oh, t-shirts. That's what it was. So like, I give away t-shirts, but they sent like I don't know. To be fair, like I definitely did some half-ass events because they gave you a lot you had to do. And to be fair, everybody did, and I would do some good events. I was okay, but you get shirts. I gave those all away, but they would also give you just this straight EA shirt. And I swear to God, you get like a box the size of like this couch with like 700 shirts, and they're like, here's give these all away
so
throughout
what
the year.
What would Matt do is
same
I would
thing.
Go over,
I would just wear them.
Same thing, but also it got to the point where it'd be like someone would spill something, and then, oh, do you guys have like a towel? Just be like, grab a shirt
from a box in the corner of our dorm and just throw them an EA shirt and they'd wipe up their shit.
They used it like a shop away. Towel.
Matt. And I always remember when our toilet flooded. I swear, this is sound made up. This is 100% true. Our toilet flooded. Somebody used a toilet at the beginning of Lawrence of Arabia, and it flooded our entire apartment throughout the entirety of Lawrence of Arabia.
We didn't stop,
and we didn't notice until intermission, and we all stood up, and there's like 3 inches of water.
Oh
and
my
like,
god!
It was just and
you
I
just
used,
dumped the shirts.
I used about 200 EA shirts, soaking them up, keeping them dry, throwing
oh
them
my
out.
God.
It was so lucky we had those because like we didn't have paper. Towels or anything.
It was so lucky.
Take that, Mass Effect 3.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, by the way, Matt would totally keep like 3 copies of every game.
That's not true.
If anyone really
I
wants,
always did keep one copy.
MXL, EA.
I would
shirts.
Like give them to like you.
Yeah,
like, it's always like, I would have to like fend off friends where I'm like, guys, I have like 2 copies of Orange Box. One has to go to this event.
Yeah.
And what is it going to be? But, I mean, friends got copies, for sure. Corruption in the gaming.
Corruption in the gaming industry,
EA
ladies and
college
gentlemen.
Rip.
Oh
I mean,
my
like,
God.
It's like, I'm like laughing
attention.
Is not a big
do
deal.
Do I have your attention? Internet, do you have a connection to Xbox Live? A, Activision. B, BioWare. C, Capcom.
You know what it takes to sell games?
Oh, that was the other joke we were going to do in VGHS. It was going to be like big brass rumblebacks.
It takes brass rumblebacks.
Probably a good thing we didn't do that joke.
Huh?
Probably a good thing we didn't
Yeah, it would have been stupid. It would have been dumb. Oh, yeah.
Like,
most of the jokes.
Most of the jokes. Most of the jokes that don't get in are really dumb. Some that get in are pretty dumb, too.
Some of them are the dumbest of all.
All right.
The jokes are either going to be the stupidest.
Wait, that's just one last thing. Because we're speaking of Gamergate, and this joke will never happen. Do you want? What was that Kotaku joke?
Oh, God.
Because this will never happen, and it was fun.
So it was going to be Games Dean exposing some. It was literally going to be like a Gamergate. It was going to be him exposing some huge scandal about how like the people who made Field of Fire were rigging the matches.
Oh no,
or
this
something.
Was season. This was season two. It was going to be along the line because it was during like the ShopBot stuff.
Yeah, it was going to be some absurd scandal, and he's like, "My God, what a scoop!" And he's going to type up this story and then email it to Kotaku, which we felt like we were in a bad mood about a Kotaku article that week. And then it was going to be the news chief at Kotaku reading this article and be like, "Holy crap!"
It's spit take. You're like,
yeah. Oh my God,
we got to put this to the press. And then like he slaps it, and then we do like a sort of like a
no, it's gonna be the whole montage.
Oh yeah, the whole montage, like a Hudsucker proxy.
Everybody being shocked, like my God, we have to tell the people.
And like the graphics department getting it, and then the editors getting it, and like it going through this thing, and then like by the time the article actually comes out, it just says 10 biggest cosplay boobs by
we're never coming off the heady highs of Matt's incredible story. Oh my gosh! Anyway, with that, we'll be back.
That's rock.
It'll be a while, actually.
Gamergate gamers, we love you.
Well, I don't know,
namaste.
Benji. We'll have to figure out what I gave Benji the news because the two little post production news. We looked at our calendar and we were like, "Holy fuck!" We have to find a way to finish the show. So I was like, "Hey, Benji, you might have to do this without
it being
ready."
It might just be me delivering monologues for the next 4 weeks.
So
the
Des Dolly show comes back.
Next week, Des. 100%
next week, maybe. Maybe Will, you'll join me. We'll just talk to each other.
I'll help you out with B Squad.
We're going to spell Gamergate for the next month and see what's happening.
More anyway, real quick, follow us on Snapchat. We are Rocket_Jump on Snapchat.
We do snap a lot.
You guys see a real unedited behind the scenes process of the actual process
subjectively
of creating
an editing process. Serious selected clips. Yes, putting them online.
But real
sneak peeks. We show little single
sneak peeks,
scenes,
little clips. Yeah. Follow us on Snapchat if you haven't already. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Helps us out quite a bit. Okay, we'll see you next time.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you to Benji.
Benji Dolly.
Producer.
Benji Podcast Producer. Alex Reeves. Podcast
Studios.
Engineer.
Pop Studios.
Follow
Pop
us Studios. On Twitter, YouTubes, what have yous. We're out there.
And thank you, Will. Will Campos. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Just say it, Benji. Just talk out loud.
Oh, of course. Oh. From a month ago, our ridiculous idea of Chill is Bro You Know shirts. Now available. Unbelievably.
They are almost out of stock. I think we've sold 14.
I think we've sold 14.
Here.
Get on over to
chill
our site.
Bros out there right now.
Store.rocketjump.com. Not all
shop
of you can be the chillest bro. You know,
shop.rocketjump.com.
Jamie story now, and I will say Jamie's 100% the person who wanted that chillest bro you know shirt to happen. Yeah. And now that you've seen the story of Jamie,
head on over to our shop. Get the chillest
tell
bro.
Tell him Jamie
you
sent
know.
You.
Tell him Jamie sent you.
Jamie will be the one reading that, but I think he'll probably get a kick out of it.
Actually,
so if you buy one.
I have three Chillest Bro You Know t-shirts I'll be giving away on Twitter. My girlfriend said I cannot wear those anymore. So, follow at Des Dolly on Twitter. Tweet at me. Tell me you want a Chillest Bro You Know shirt and I'll hook it up.
And thank you to Big Mike down at Gaudi Honda and
AC Pros. Thanks, AC Pros.
BJ's
Brewing.
We're out of here.
We're done. See you guys.